daddy. Down by the banks of the hanky-panky river. Down from the banky-panky river. Leaps, hops, and pops.
Remember when you were a kid and the world was so new and interesting, and your town felt as big as the universe? Maybe you'd race your friends up a tree on your neighborhood corner. Perhaps you'd spend after school nestled in a nook in the library. Or maybe you'd meet up for a movie at the local theater. We want these ideal, dreamy experiences for every child. But unfortunately, that's not the reality for everyone in Boulder. Childhood can be hard, and no matter your age, it's difficult to ignore the urgent, stressful crises felt by our community and beyond. And that's why we have folks working to make our community a place where all kids feel safe, have access to clean, outdoor spaces to explore and play, and where they can help make decisions about the community they call home. This is the theme of our episode, child-friendly spaces, and more broadly, child-friendly cities. They can look like a lot of different things, so we asked some local youth and adults to describe what a child-friendly Boulder could look like.
When you have an opportunity to look to the future you want to create, there's so many thoughts that go through your mind. And for me right now, I have this sort of ping, 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 ping going up in my brain.
For me, a child-friendly Boulder would look like a place where all kids can grow up in a really safe environment and one that has a lot of resources for them to deal with whatever they need to deal with throughout the whole process of, you know, childhood and growing up from being a baby to a teenager in Boulder and kind of having that support all along the way. Also, having spaces where kids can share their voice and give their opinions.
Young people can get around on their own. They can be independently mobile without having to rely upon adults to chauffeur them everywhere. Well, that means better bike paths, better connectivity around the city, fewer accidents and fear of traffic and cars. They also ask for art. And when they ask for art, they want it to be interactive. So they want the ability to climb on it, to make art, not just to look at it.
I think it's a place that prioritizes education. Playgrounds, they're safe.
I think about recreation and I think about my own kids and I think about the role that recreation and organized activities had in their life and whether it was sports or drama or arts or scouts. I also think about the importance of making sure that those opportunities are affordable and accessible to everybody.
A child-friendly city is also more beautiful. Young people always request more nature.
The great outdoors and the amazing joy that a child can have just being free running around in the grass and not having the constraints of the walls and the structures that we create in our society.
That all sounds pretty lovely, right? Interactive art in public spaces, safe streets with few cars, walkable neighborhoods that don't require other people to shuttle you around, and ways to share your voice. Boulder already has many of these things, but the work is not done to make our community as child-friendly as possible for all children. This is the ongoing journey we're digging into in this episode. I'm Leah Kelleher, and you're listening to Let's Talk Boulder, a City of Boulder podcast exploring our community one conversation at a time. The folks you heard at the top of the episode were Sarah Huntley, Avery Stuhlbarg, Mara Mincer, and Elias Weatherly, in order of appearance. We'll get back to who they are in a little bit. Okay, so I keep using this term child-friendly, but what does that really mean? Well, in the context of local government, it actually has a semi-specific meaning and a history. For Boulder, that history started at a UNICEF USA conference in Jacksonville, Florida, before COVID hit. The conference focused on children's rights and the child-friendly city initiative that UNICEF was leading. And for those who don't know, UNICEF stands for the United Nations Children's Fund,
As their name suggests, they're an agency of the United Nations that provides humanitarian aid to children worldwide. UNICEF USA is essentially our national chapter of the broader organization.
The goal of the conference was to sort of introduce some of these key concepts to people and really help local governments and other public sector and nonprofit types of leaders understand that children of all ages have rights.
This is Sarah Huntley.
I'm the Director of Communication and Engagement for the city. And what that means is that I get to work with a wonderful team of people who make sure that everybody in the community has an opportunity to know about services, programs, and their local government, and also has an opportunity to engage in decision-making, in ways we can make our community and our government stronger.
It's important to note that there's actually an international treaty that guides this work.
There is an international treaty called the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child, which outlines human rights for anyone under the age of 18.
This is Mara Mincer. She leads Growing Up Boulder, which is a local nonprofit that works to center young people's voices to make our community more equitable and sustainable for everyone. Okay, back to Mara.
And there are communities all over the world that have taken this lofty treaty and turned it into action. And when they do that in collaboration with their national UNICEF office, that becomes a child-friendly city initiative. Well, when we started Growing Up Boulder, UNICEF USA, which is our national committee, wasn't in the business of doing child-friendly cities yet. The United States is the only nation in the world that has not ratified this treaty. However, in 2020, UNICEF USA launched its own version of child-friendly cities. And the reason I say all of this is because Growing Up Boulder, our work was our grassroots version of a child-friendly city initiative, because we decided, well, we're not going to wait for there to be the model developed for the United States. Let's just make it happen our own way in Boulder. And that's what we had been doing up until 2023. But in 2023, we did sign a memorandum of understanding with the City of Boulder, Growing Up Boulder, and UNICEF USA to officially launch as a child-friendly city.
And even though the United States has not ratified those rights in the same way as other countries, we are all committed to making sure that young people are kept healthy in each of the concrete ways we think of health, but also have an opportunity to participate in civic life. That concept of bringing a designation to a city and going through a deliberate process to identify what our young people need was introduced and sparked for me at that conference. So fast forward. First of all, I think we've all learned and observed that COVID was a tough time for everybody in our communities, but particularly for our young people. It really disrupted sort of the structures and some of the socialization that kids very young and all the way up into their teenage years get through the school system.
And this is in addition to all the other crises that children are well aware of. Climate change, substance abuse, war, affordable housing, just to name a few.
And so it's really important to build their hope and their sense of being able to take action, because that's the only way we're going to be able to move through this is moving through it together. And there's a lot of research that shows that when young people take collective action, really any age, but it's so important for young people, it helps reduce some of that anxiety that we're feeling in response to what's happening with the world around us.
After the UNICEF USA conference, Growing Up Boulder and the city came together to launch a local child-friendly cities initiative here in Boulder.
About a year and a half ago, the Growing Up Boulder team came back to the city and said, we feel like we're prepared and structured to really support you if you wanted to embark upon this journey. And are you ready to do so? And we were able to say, yes, we felt like we were, at least from the perspective of what's the role the city can be playing in improving quality of life for young people.
This wasn't a new relationship. The city and Growing Up Boulder have been working together on many different projects for years.
When Growing Up Boulder was founded, it was a collaboration between the University of Colorado, the City of Boulder, and Boulder Valley School District, along with a number of nonprofits and young people themselves. Over the years, the way it's evolved is that the city will ask internally, what are the top projects that they would like young people's input on?
And the nice thing about Growing Up Boulder is they have great expertise in how to bring people of all ages into the process.
We've worked with over 8,500 young people, from as young as even babies and toddlers all the way up through high school students.
One of my most fun memories is when they worked with a preschool and they were looking at our transportation system, and they had these little tykes who had GoPros on their heads.
And then the preschoolers walked around and explored crossing streets, trying to experience what it was like to be a pedestrian. And what they found was that it was really scary to be walking on some of Boulder streets. They were very busy. The input from those toddlers then went into the Transportation Master Plan to work towards Vision Zero.
For those who don't know, Vision Zero is Boulder's goal to reduce the number of severe crashes, fatalities, and serious injuries down to zero. We'll include a link in our show notes if you're interested in learning more. At this point, you're hopefully gathering that Growing Up Boulder is a really important leader in our journey to become a child-friendly city. But they aren't the only ones leading the charge. And you may be wondering, where are the youth voices in all of this? This brings us to the Youth Opportunities Advisory Board, or YOAB for short. YOAB is a group of high school students who work closely with city staff.
They tend to be some really bright and insightful teenagers who learn more about city projects and processes and are able to both advise us on the youth perspective, but also when it works really, really well, they're bringing in other youth voices.
YOAB, it's really just this platform that gives high schoolers in Boulder an opportunity to really come forward and have a voice in a space where they traditionally haven't before. And this is really just an opportunity for them to have that say. I'm Avery Stuhlbarg. I'm a junior at Boulder High School. I've been on YOAB for just this year.
Together, the city, YOAB, and Growing Up Boulder have been working to forward the Child Friendly Cities Initiative. And this work, this focus on youth, aims to reflect the city's commitment to be more inclusive in our decision-making process.
Often when we think of inclusivity and diversity, we tend to think around sort of maybe race or ethnicity, socioeconomic groups, but certainly age is a demographic that allows us a lot of richness in perspectives and lived experiences. We have young people who are being raised in Boulder and who will benefit or not benefit, depending on decisions we make, well into their teen years and their adulthood. So as we've recognized the importance of inclusivity, I think we've refined our understanding of different interest groups. We really look at the different segments of our community to understand who's most likely to be impacted. I feel pretty strongly that when Boulder does longer-term planning in particular, it's our young people who really need to have a voice in that. Because if you're talking about a plan that isn't going to come to fruition for 10, 15, 20 years, who's going to be living in the environment where that plan happens? It's going to be the people who are, we think of as young today. I also just want to say that sometimes there's a little bit of a bias that young people can't possibly understand all of the complexities of government or can't understand the nuances of regulations and finances. And I think while their maturity level around some of those specific topics might be lower than in adults, I have found very insightful young people. And they also just have this ability to think beyond the constraints that can be really liberating and fun to watch and really forces us as a government to lean into creativity and innovation in ways that perhaps adult stakeholders aren't able to provoke.
Yeah, you know, I think there's this stereotype that youth really aren't involved or aren't interested in being involved in decision-making and in really things that we see as important in society. And I think we're here to just kind of say, like, we're interested.
And this is evident in the many projects Yoab is involved in, from the Child Friendly Cities Initiative to other tricky topics like reimagining policing.
The Boulder Police Department Work Group, working with them to help improve relations between police officers and youth in the community. So that's been really amazing to be a part of. Another big one that I'm a part of is the Teen Town Halls Action Committee. Me and a few other Yoab members have worked really hard this year to implement Teen Town Halls in Boulder, which are basically opportunities for high school-aged kids to come and share their opinions on either a variety of subjects or one topic of focus. And we already had one in December that was a huge success. I think we had an eighth grader all the way through seniors in high school, and it felt so powerful being able to be in such a meaningful discussion and just have youth there. Not to discount adults or anything, but it was just really an amazing feeling. And we had scheduled an hour and a half for discussion time, an hour and a half for the whole event. And we intervened and we were like, so sorry, like our time is approaching. And then they go like, no, we want to keep talking. So we ended up talking for another 30 minutes. And it just showed me, you know, how much interest there is out there. And if we keep pushing and keep marketing, how we can turn these conversations into real change-making opportunities.
I notice a lot of students are very disillusioned with politics in general, but I think especially local politics and government.
This is Elias Weatherly. He's also on Yoab.
And I am a senior at New Vista right now. When I had some people I knew from New Vista come to the town hall, you know, they were a lot more engaged, asking a lot of questions, participating a lot.
Trust in government could not be more important than right now. We've seen through COVID and through some of the political upheaval in our country that trust is at an all-time low. And when you build trust, if you can build it at a young age and help people see that they absolutely have the power to influence the decisions that impact them, that trust continues through adulthood.
I want to come back to what Elias and Avery just said, because it feels like a really important point. When youth have a comfortable space to share their ideas, they're ready to bring them to the table. They're ready to discuss difficult topics like policing and climate change and imagine a better system, what a better future could look like.
One of the things we can do as adult allies is create spaces for young people to be able to share their thoughts and their feelings. Often in government, we think the young people should come to us, right? They should come to city council meetings. They should show up to public meetings. But that can be very intimidating. And so what Growing Up Boulder has done throughout our 15 years is we often bring the adult decision makers, whether it's city staff or council members, into the classrooms or into the young people's spaces. And then they're able to talk more freely. And that shift in power dynamic can be incredibly powerful.
I've already been able to see how much impact the work that we've been doing has had on the community. Everything we've done has kind of just had this quantitative and qualitative outcome where we've been able to reach communities and make differences that have been visible.
Kids, when they give their feedback about what they want in community, they are so empathetic and so compassionate. And they always think outside themselves. I remember one little girl in particular who was telling me that we really needed to have more dog parks. I asked her, you know, why do you think dog parks are important for community? And she told me that whenever she gets to go to a dog park, she meets so many people she didn't know before because the dogs are interacting and people start having conversations. And she said in particular, she really liked meeting older adults there. She said a lot of older adults would come in the middle of the day, maybe after school when she would go. And she could talk to people who were like her grandma and her grandpa.
So clearly there's already some great work happening in Boulder. But here's the million-dollar question. How does Boulder become a more child-friendly city? How do we continue to improve our community for young people? And when will Boulder be officially recognized as a child-friendly city?
There are a number of steps that go into becoming a child-friendly city. The first is signing that memorandum of understanding, saying all the parties are committed to it, and really doing a launch. We launched our initiative with, there were about 400 children and families, along with the Dia del Niño in April of 2023. Then the next step is really pulling together a community partnership roundtable of different organizations that are dedicated to young people to talk about this process and see how they might wish to be engaged.
Try to have a clear and inclusive conversation about what the needs are and how are those needs being met today and how are they not being met today. And then you can start to dream about what the future might look like.
We then have been doing what's called a situation analysis, which is made up of two parts. That's kind of a big way of describing it. The first is a government assessment. So looking at quantitative data about how are our children and youth doing? You know, how many of them are staying in school? How many of them are using substances? How many of them have access to nature on a regular basis? Those sorts of questions. At the same time, we're doing something called community conversations. From young people themselves, what do you think? Here are the five different categories of child and youth well-being, whether it's safety and inclusion or play and leisure or equitable access to social services. What do you think?
So we've already been able to glean some themes, even though we have not gotten deep into the imagining phase yet. When we get into the imagining phase, there will be lots of youth-led engagement by both YOAB as well as some city staff groups and, importantly, community partners. It is a very intentional, thoughtful, and deliberate process. Certainly, the city of Boulder has been serving young people for many, many years, but we have never really stopped to catalog what that looks like. And it's been very dispersed across different departments. From my department's perspective, I'm looking at it from the realm of public participation and civic engagement. But from climate initiatives, they're thinking about it from the perspective of the risk that climate change has to young people and in disrupting their lives. From housing and human services, they're thinking about whether children are in safe environments when they lay their heads down at night and what kind of support systems are in place for them. Open Space and Mountain Parks and Parks and Recreation have a tremendous catalog of ways they engage young people and give them opportunities to stay healthy and get outdoors and recreate. So we're doing a lot, but we haven't really, as a city organization, stopped to look at the totality and, perhaps more importantly, where the gaps are. We are hearing a lot about emotional health, mental health.
I know a lot of kids are very aware of the serious issues going on in Boulder and in the world and in the United States more generally. There has to be openness and honesty about that.
Being a teenager, there's a lot of real pressure coming from absolutely all directions, whether that be from coaches or teachers or parents or peers.
There are a lot of problems in the world. I think we're going to be the generation that has to solve a lot of these issues, but there's still some stigma surrounding, you know, getting therapy or seeking some kind of mental health help.
Feedback also comes from the classroom.
We have had a number of teachers in the Boulder Valley School District, as well as actually in the private schools, who have taken this notion of child-friendly cities and run with it. Whittier Elementary School teachers have been doing an entire unit with young people. What are your rights? What are things that are important to you to make your city safe for you and for your peers? Some of them are second and first graders, right? So they're writing essays about what matters to them. And this is not just some sort of academic exercise. It's actually creating people who will give back to their community over a lifetime.
When we've engaged with young people with the help of Growing Up Boulder, it has been some of the most rewarding work I've ever done. You know, being able to go into a classroom, for example, and watch kids come alive with the idea of possibilities. And then also sort of have to have the conversation with them about, okay, you've got this great idea, and it may not happen for 5 years, because you know how when there's something you want in a store and you don't have enough money right away, you have to sort of keep that vision ahead of you and start putting money in your piggy bank, right? And you save up for something you really, really want. Well, that's what local government has to do sometimes too. And so help kids understand it and be able to have a conversation with them that's at their level, particularly for younger kids, about why it sometimes takes time in local government to realize the possibilities they've imagined.
We've also heard about making sure that families have affordable housing, because that is an issue that even our children are very aware of and that it affects many of them.
One of the things that could really help a lot of younger people, maybe as they get a bit older, is just having Boulder being a more affordable place, because I know a lot of people are getting priced out now. And I think if kids can grow up in a place that is affordable, where their family can own a home or at least a nice apartment, it's going to benefit them massively in the future.
I've lived here my whole life. I had all the opportunities open to me as a kid, being able to, you know, take advantage of the mountains and open spaces and wonderful things that Boulder has to offer, and lots of, you know, safe and clean areas for play and leisure. But one of the things that I think we could improve on is making sure that is equitable, not just play and leisure. I mean, making sure that every kid can have a voice, not just a select sampling of them. Making sure that all of them can have a safe environment and making sure all of them can access resources is super important.
Avery and Elias bring up some important gaps. Equitable access to safe, child-friendly spaces, affordable housing, and decision-making opportunities. They're just a few of the places where we need to improve. And certainly, others will continue to surface as we chat with young people and folks who support youth.
Once we have all of that data together, which is a lot of data, we're going to share it back with all of our stakeholders. That includes our city staff stakeholders, young people themselves, the nonprofit partners, the schools, all of these different groups who have worked with us. And we're going to ask them to help us make sense of this data. One of the best things when you're doing this sort of engagement work is going back to your community and finding out, did we hear you correctly? And so we will be having some intergenerational meetings or workshops where they get to weigh in on what they've heard and help us make sense of it. And then becomes the process of narrowing down big ideas into what are the top three priorities we as a community want to focus on. And that will be a citywide action plan. And then over the years, we're going to actually try implementing it and measuring it. If you want to do that deep listening and real systems change, it does take time, but we see it as an investment in the ongoing relationships. This is not transactional. We have so far heard from over 850 children, youth, parents, elders, service providers, and it is incredible the amount of enthusiasm and the insights that we are already starting to hear from our community.
The reality is that this is going to take all of our community. And so we've really been actively engaging with organizations and partners who touch young people's lives in ways that local government does not, and who may have resources and expertise that we do not have. What are they already doing, and what could they do more of or differently if we were able to allocate some funding to them?
This brings us to something we should mention: how this work is being funded. One of the ways in Colorado is through money the city of Boulder is receiving from the sale of the Bronco Stadium. It's about $2 million.
It's our share that we're getting as a city to be put towards youth programs.
We're not the only community receiving money from the sale, but we are trying to be a bit different in how we spend it.
We have said we're going to take a pause. It will be very important seed money once the young people in our community have an opportunity to tell us what they need the most. Once we do have some action items, we do have the beginning of funding to start to meet some of those needs and start to enact programs or services that our young people tell us they need more of. At the same time, as part of our inventory, we're looking at dollars we're already spending in the city. And it's possible that we could repurpose some of those if there are higher priorities that young people might have.
Thanks, Sarah. I want to come back to this recognition that creating a more child-friendly city is going to require everyone from our community to step up and support youth. And when I think about others in our community who are doing just that, I think of Jeff and Paige.
Hi, I'm Jeff.
And I'm Paige, and together we are
Jeff and Paige.
Jeff and Paige are musicians who make science and nature-themed music for kids. Their songs are educational and pretty whimsical. You may have seen them perform at the Farmer's Market, or on Pearl Street, at Boulder Creek Fest, or at other events around Boulder County. Or if you're a parent, you may be well acquainted with their rainbow socks and funky outfits. Maybe you even have one of their songs stuck in your head right now.
Between 9th Street and 13th and a little north and south of Boulder Creek, it's the civic area. Let's celebrate all the numerous ways we recreate.
We sing songs about science and nature.
We do educational skits, and whenever we go hiking in our concerts, it sounds like this.
Ooh, ah, ah. Ooh, we're hiking somos, exploradores somos, exploradores, ooh, we're hiking.
So that pretty much sums it up.
That pretty much sums it up. We've been doing children's science and nature-themed environmental music and concerts for 19 years in Boulder County and beyond.
We have two kids who are currently 4 and 8 years old, and we spend a lot of time together.
Yes, we do. We have 7 albums of children's music about science, nature, and sustainability.
Which of the previously stated Boulder, Colorado civic area recreational activities appeal?
And now it's time.
Jeff and Paige are also longtime partners with the city of Boulder. They've worked to spread the word on a ton of different local topics, like how to compost right and the importance of civic engagement.
Check out the Compost Man video on the Jeff and Paige Facebook page.
I will just say that Jeff let me throw garbage at his face. It wasn't garbage, it was compost.
Moist coffee grounds.
This relationship started with Open Space and Mountain Parks, who partnered with Jeff and Paige to hold outdoor concerts that became a series called Meadow Music.
Our association with Open Space and the ability to lead kids' concerts week after week, every single summer for 19 years, has allowed us to connect with hundreds, maybe thousands of kids.
Definitely thousands. We met in graduate school for environmental education. Jeff started writing a lot of the music that actually became our first album during that program.
Mm-hmm.
During that graduate program, Jeff and Paige were confronted with some of the ways our world is suffering from climate change. It was a painful experience.
I went home on break from our graduate program, and I just melted into the couch after spending time on some Native American reservations, learning about the salmon populations in the Pacific Northwest, just really understanding the depth of the issues and the oppression and all the intricate ways that it connected with every single thing.
I had a similar despair also coming back, just feeling like everything that I knew was not true, and that I was seeing something and nobody else in my life understood it. Doing this as our work, being children's nature and science musicians, I do think you have to experience that despair and not let it consume you, and then to bring that down and be like, but wait, there's all this joy, there's all this biodiversity, there's all these trails, there's these moments where we burst into the alpine and our heart just explodes, and like, that's what I want to share. So we take that despair and we turn it as positive as possible.
There's so much more, like in the garden, when you go out there to see what's really going on, it doesn't feel like despair. It feels amazing. It feels like life. So there's a lot of awareness work and becoming present to reality, as in right here, right now, in this moment reality, versus what's my mind saying. about what's happening. And so for me personally, that's been a huge part of my journey to being able to joyfully express about what's happening in the world.
That doesn't mean that Jeff and Paige don't help children understand and handle difficult topics like climate change. They just do it in a way that's approachable and supportive for kids.
We can talk about a human change that we would like to see, but if we say it from the perspective of me in a tree costume talking about CO2 that I'm going to take it, it just works better for me, whether it's with kids or adults, to A, have that levity while I'm dressed in something like a tree. Saying something from the perspective of a character allows us to say something that might sound preachy or feel scary to say as Jeff.
I remember being in middle school and reading 101 Things Kids Can Do to Save the Earth, and it was such a well-meaning book, and it, like, destroyed me. I remember being in the shower just thinking I shouldn't be using the water and trying to, like, take military-style showers. And for me, my motivation for being really careful about how we talk about especially anything that's like a bigger picture issue like climate or habitat destruction or water rights, all the things that we do touch on those themes, but we don't talk about them in that way. We talk about them from a place of curiosity and interest and love and, hey, how do you use water at home? No judgment, trying to get rid of the judgment completely.
And in doing so, Jeff and Paige help parents in our community have these difficult conversations with youth. Like Elias was saying earlier, these conversations are really important, and we shouldn't shy away from having them with kids. We just need to do it in a thoughtful, supportive way that pairs an acknowledgement of the things that are hard to face with the good in the world that still exists.
And then for children, not saying this is your problem, to say, no, we're all going to do this together. I'm here. The grandparents are here. The kids are here. We're all shifting together. This isn't one person's thing. It's everyone's thing. Look at these things that are happening. We're shifting. We're in a transition. You're not alone. And yes, your actions make a difference. And yes, sometimes you can't do everything exactly how you think you're quote unquote supposed to do it.
We're starting that shift to a better future in Boulder. And of course, part of that shift is becoming a more child-friendly city. But the work doesn't stop once Boulder gets its official child-friendly city designation from UNICEF. Ensuring our city is a supportive, safe, and enjoyable place for young people and really everyone is an ongoing journey.
We have to be thoughtful. We have to have conversations. We're letting young people be empowered and lift their voices. And whether we ever get a certificate or not that says we're a child-friendly city, we will have won as a community by focusing on those things.
I don't really care about names or recognition. What does it actually mean? How does it make a difference? What it does is it gets all sectors of our community to work together and specifically centering the voices of young people and particularly those from historically marginalized backgrounds to say, what are the top priorities and issues we want to improve in our community?
The idea of making sure that children are healthy and thriving in our community is a never-ending journey. We're going to have new young people, new challenges, new opportunities, new ways to make sure that they are really having an opportunity to excel in life here in Boulder.
You, listener, can join us on this journey by tuning into the process like you are right now and taking part in engagement opportunities.
You can follow us on different social media platforms or go to our website, which is growingupboulder.org, and sign up for our newsletter at the bottom. We'll always alert you when there's an opportunity coming up, and we partner closely with the city on all of that. So it's often available through city channels as well.
We also have a Child Friendly Cities Initiative website that will be posting information about upcoming efforts. We also have a presence for this topic on our Be Heard Boulder site, which is an online 24/7 engagement platform. And at various points in the process, there will be different questions people can answer.
I think when it comes to involvement, maybe you're too busy, maybe you're not super interested, but I think just get involved somehow. I think that could mean anything from attending like city council meetings, attending youth town halls like here in Boulder, or calling your senator, which you can absolutely do.
Our city council meetings, commission meetings, those are always open to any age. And I really encourage our young people, if you feel ready, to come and speak at those meetings. The adults who are there are delighted to hear from you. It's very impactful to them. They wish they could hear more from you. Last thing is, high school students can apply to the Youth Opportunities Advisory Board. They will be looking for new high school students next year because a lot of their current ones are graduating. So please apply for that leadership position. It's a great way to work with Growing Up Boulder and with the city and really make a change.
As always, we've dropped links to all of these resources in our show notes. Over the course of this episode, we've talked a lot about the process to become a community where kids of all ages thrive. But I'd love to close out with some messages for young people from your peers, Elias and Avery, and the adults in the episode. Sarah, Mara, Jeff, and Paige. We hope you're listening, young people. And also, while I'm closing out, a big thank you to all the people just listed who were in this episode. Okay. Here it goes.
I hope that anyone listening can find the pieces in their life and in their city and in their community that are working and dig in there. Try to find something to focus on that's happening, that's positive, that's good, that maybe is incredible.
Pick what you're interested in or find what you're interested in and just go all in with that. There are opportunities out there, whether that be in Boulder or beyond, to get your opinions out there and your ideas, whether that's on, you know, a team that you're on or a school activity or a club you're part of. Really just keep pushing because your voice matters.
More generally, I think I just would say to kids is keep fighting. I think there's a lot that this generation is going to have to fight for, whether it be local stuff, more national stuff, but I think just keep fighting, keep being critical.
For young people who are out there listening, I want you to know that your local government here in Boulder cares about you. We want to hear from you. Young people may have a perception that the adults and the grown-ups in the community don't see them and don't value them. And I think it's really important for us as adults individually and as members of local government to recognize all the gifts that young people bring to us. The joy, the compassion, the empathy, and the deep emotional feelings that they can carry, and the importance of recognizing all the ups and downs of that.
You are not just future citizens, you're current citizens. And I mean citizen with a lowercase c, right? It doesn't, your documentation status is not what I mean. It's you are residents of this community and you have a voice now. And so please, like, reach out to us, speak up at different events, really share what you believe and know, because you have the opportunity to make change right now. Don't wait till you're over 18.
We are not the experts on your lived experience. You are. Whatever it is that you feel like you have something to contribute to, please don't be afraid to step up, take the mic, and tell us what you need.